frontier.
Ladies and gentlemen, the following podcast is Wrestling Death and is scheduled for 1 hour.
You're coming now.
Welcome to Wrestling Daft the Marks, hailing from Labrador, weighing in at 182 pounds. I am John, producer of Wrestling Daft, host of this show. I am currently broadcasting from my kitchen, so if there's interruptions from a seven-year-old girl and a Labrador puppy, I apologise in advance. With me, joining me on this voyage, is a man bigger than Gary's Coupon win at the weekend. It's Big Alex.
Who's also recording from his kitchen, so it's like kitchenception today.
Yes, yeah, you can probably hear from that. And talking about wig wins and the Coupon, Gary is with us, Scotland's premier wrestling journalist and a man currently obsessed with buying socks for some reason. Gary, talk us about your nothing to do with wrestling, but just a good old-fashioned football Coupon win at the weekend.
Aye, and just for clarity, I'm not in my kitchen, but my kitchen is about 10 steps away from where I'm sitting now, so close enough. But I think it's actually the first Coupon win I've had ever that's been over four teams, because I normally stick on comebacks. That's normally my thing. But aye, free bet, stuck on eight teams, £375 for a free fiver bet. So aye, I'll take it.
Absolutely. Are you going to invest your money in more socks? Or this week you revealed to us that Randy Orton has his own line of fashion now.
Sadly, the t-shirts are not on sale yet. So we'll see if my £375 disappears before he gets the t-shirts on sale. But it's looking pretty nice. I know that, you know, wrestling merchandise can be a bit hit or miss. We like a fair amount of the wrestling merch, but some of it were very, very a bit dismissive of, something that can be really bad. This looks really good. It looks even better than Randy Orton's WWE merch. So I guess that's one way to sell it.
We should have just been lying and just telling everyone he was already wearing it.
Aye.
we're all sucker for merch. I end up buying this week a Jake the Snake kind of fanzine t-shirt and the crossover. It's finally hit WWE Euroshop if you're interested, guys. The Motorhead Triple H crossover t-shirt is now available on WWE Euroshop, so get involved in that. It's a cracker.
And they've not
how many years too late is that t-shirt, though? I mean, when did Motorhead first play for Triple H?
And they made a slight error on some of those t-shirts that I don't think made it to the EU Euroshop, where they had Triple HHH written on it. It's like, well, that's 9 H's, that's no Triple H. But I don't think they made it to the Euroshop. I think they were only on the US store for a wee bit.
Brilliant. Before we kind of come on the show, I just wanted to touch on something that's kind of come to my attention via your good friend Sean Ross Sapp. Gary, it seems to be that WWE are obsessed with splitting up duos at the moment. The last wee while we've seen the split up of the Iconics, Golden Rule Models, Murphy and Rollins on last night's Raw, spoiler alert, Andrade and Garza, Cedric and Ricochet, and then they've released the AOP.
Aye, bit of an odd one. That, for me, see, I always think they tend to do this after WrestleMania, and I don't think we really got that this year, so I don't know if it's just everything being condensed into one. Maybe also, I know that not all of them are for Raw, but a lot of them are for Raw, and well, the ratings for Raw haven't been very good. Although saying that, on the opposite side of that, I think we saw Keith Lee and his real-life partner, Mia Yim, doing battle in the ring last night because she's a member of Retribution. Well, maybe not officially, but she's under the mask. So maybe there's another split they're trying to enforce as well.
We'll get onto that a bit later on in the news. Alex, do you think that this might be a sign that WWE might unite the tag titles? I mean, obviously, in kayfabe, you know, they've been putting Street Profits up against Cesaro and Nakamura, which my prediction is this, right, because they're split up all these teams, they're going to bring the tag team into one, tag team division into one, and they'll do a unification at Clash of the Champions. What do you think? Am I talking shite?
I'd be 100% for it, but I just don't know if there's that amount of long-term storytelling in this. I'm a little bit worried that this is just, we need some new feuds. What's the best way to get feuds? Split up tag teams. So I'm more on the side of just it's lazy storytelling, personally.
I've got a trivia question for the both of you.
Oh, yes.
Any of you name me a tag team on the Raw roster that isn't the Street Profits that are currently active?
Yeah, because the Viking Raiders don't count. And See, it shouldn't be this difficult to name a second tag team on the roster, really, should it?
Do you want to know why it's so difficult? There isn't
because
one.
There's none.
Really?
Yeah. Literally only the Street Profits on the Raw roster that is an active tag team right now.
Right. Well, that does hint towards them unifying the tag titles for me. You can't have a tag division with just one team.
I'm surprised they haven't just like put Bobby Lashley and MVP in there and been like, yeah, Hurt Business now also do tag teams. I'm trying to think of...
That would be, I think they would be brilliant in the tag team division as well, but that is the odd part of it, where it's like, they're obviously doing the stuff with Retribution now as well, so there's no other tag team, so it'll be interesting to see what they do.
Do you think that Vince, you know, has, in a typical Vince way, has sort of seen the spotlight shone on AEW's tag division, which is obviously off the scale, and he's just went the opposite way just to be Vince McMahon? Is that
we might as well no compete. Never mind. there's no chance we're going to have a better tag team division than AEW or Impact. Let's just forget about it.
Yeah. I mean, the big thing with Vince, I mean, reading from a few tag team wrestlers in the past, is that he hates tag team wrestling, and the only reason that he hates tag team wrestling is he has to pay four guys as opposed to two. That is always.
But why did he let Teddy Long be the general manager of SmackDown?
Oh. Massive fail on his part. I just thought it was an interesting point this week that, you know, when Sean Ross Sapp pointed it out. But yeah, we'll wait and see what happens with that come Clash of Champions. So we've not got any big interviews this week, like Chris Jericho last week, but Gary is teasing something big for next week. I've seen him on his Twitter saying that he's got someone from NXT UK.
Yeah, I've got Ginny from NXT UK tomorrow, the Fashionista. So that'll be a fun one, but it's mainly going to be me asking about the stuff I need to ask about NXT UK's return, you know, what safety measures have put in place and all that kind of thing, what it's like wrestling in the BT Sports Studios in front of nobody. But also I'm going to have somebody for MLW next week, who people might not be too common with common knowledge with who's in MLW, but this person has a very famous second name, one of the Von Erichs. So,
oh, really?
So that would be an interesting one, because obviously there was that Dark Side of the Ring episode with the Von Erichs. So hoping that's early next week, and then we can hopefully have it in 2 weeks on this podcast.
Oh, yeah, that's proper wrestling royalty right there.
It weird that we're at the stage now that a standard question is asking about what safety procedures they have in place?
Sad times.
I know. Well, we'll be doing all the usual stuff. We don't have an interview this week, but we'll be buddying and putting over stuff from the big shows. Once again, travelling on the Wrestling Daft Raft to Fantasy Booking Island. Last week, we were put in charge of booking Brock Lesnar as a free agent. It has been neck and neck on the votes, so we're going to reveal who won the booking, because
John's face is giving it away again.
Do you know what, Alex? I've not even checked, but I thought we'll just do it as and when we do when we get to Fantasy Booking Island, we'll find out who has won. It was close between me and Gary, so we're neck and neck for a long while, so we'll find out who's won Fantasy Booking Island a bit later on in the show, and we'll get another booking on the go, because that's how we're doing it now. We'll also be finding out about this year's G1 with Big Alex and turning Japanese. I can see, if you're watching the video version, that he has a very nice backdrop. Is that the draw, is it, Alex?
That is indeed. And I've prepared you a lovely little introduction that will probably just sound like me rambling. And then at the end, we're going to play a little game of how many wrestlers did John recognise.
Excellent. I look forward to that. So if you're watching the video version, you'll see that. But otherwise, if you're listening, it will make sense when we get to Tom and Japanese a bit later on. But first, let's cut a promo.
I have a lot of things I want to get off my chest.
Right, give me a mic. I've got something I want to talk about. Now, this is probably going to be slightly controversial. Gary, you're engaged, aren't you? You've got a...
Yeah.
Alex, you're still...
Engaged, but I wouldn't have to be married after that.
Yeah. Alex, you're still in the singles market, aren't you?
Yeah, living the dream.
There you go.
And the singles division rather than the tag team division.
Yeah, the division that people care about, apparently.
Well, you boys aren't married, right? Now, I've seen a few, you know, across the way, you go to weddings, and there's one line that always stands out to me, right? And I saw it on Facebook, someone had just got married. And the line is this, right? I can't believe I've just married my best friend, right? Now, I've got serious issues, right? Because... Listen, I adore my wife. I love my wife. She's given me two beautiful children. You know, we're very compatible. You know, but she's not my best mate, right? There's a big difference between your best friend and your other half, okay? Right, my best mate goes to the pub with me. We knock back pints. We talk about the football. We'll talk about the wrestling. You know, we'll make lewd comments, whatever.
You talk about the wives.
You talk about the wives. You talk about their trouble and strife. You know, you can't do that with your best friend's not your wife. Now, listen, me and my wife, we're good. We're friends. Obviously, we're friends. But she's not your best friend. And I think if anyone...
We tolerate each other. We're acquaintances.
No, but do you know what I mean?
We're flatmates. We just share a house.
But do you know what? But do you know what I mean? It's just like... Your best friend's your best friend, you know. Think of Chuck and Trent, you know, your best friend is very...
I thought you were going to say Chuck and Billy, and I was like, that's my little best friend.
But, you know, it's very different. I would say if you think your wife's your best friend, that's fair on you, you know, and maybe you can argue against me, but does your wife go into the pub and sit and talk about the football and have a couple of pints with you, slag off people, make wood jokes, all that sort of stuff? If she doesn't, she's probably not your best mate. Listen, she's your wife, absolutely, you love her to bits and stuff, but not your best friend. So my promo this week is people that say, I married my best friend. Thoughts?
I've got another one on that I hate in terms of weddings, when people say it has made me the luckiest man on earth, and I'm like, did you win £375 for a free bet the whole day? No, I didn't think so. I hate that saying anyway. I'm like, have some self-value. You're not the luckiest person. You both work at the Gillar. That's how relationships work. Absolutely hate that nonsense.
Excellent. Well tagged in, Gary. Each week on The Marks, we like to go through all the shows in detail, separating the good from the bad as we bury and put over stuff from it. None of us usually do SmackDown, but I think we're all going to start fighting over SmackDown soon enough and give somebody else like Raw. But as usual, we'll get a guest Mark on to do SmackDown for us. And making his second appearance, that's two-time, it's Craig Brookfield. How are you doing, Craig?
Good, mate. Yourself?
Good to have you back on, my man. We know what we're getting with you. remind us of your wrestling credentials.
So I was the one that met John Morrison and Ricochet playing a computer game. Another wrestling credential could be that I've seen Hulk Hogan against Yokozuna beside Edinburgh Airport.
Wow.
When I was wee, it was like Hulk Hogan's like, what can I say? Like, it was like his farewell tour before he left WWE and then... That was like his last run before he went to WCW, so they did like a European tour. So it was like an arena that's like next to Edinburgh Airport, it's tiny, and I seen that when I was about 8 or 9 year old. Might be pound for pound the happiest day of my life, because I was just like a big, massive Hulk Hogan fan when I was wee.
Are you still a Hogan fan?
No.
No. Hogan fan in 2020, it's bad.
No.
We'll move on. Well, let's get into the shows from this week. Coming off the back of All Out, it was AEW Dynamite, Alex.
You mean the million-dollar viewer episode of AEW Dynamite? Did I use the word dollar? Damn it, I ruined it. the million-viewer episode with the Florida humidity still fucking everyone up, because we had a bit of a big botch from Jungle Boy, and then Luchasaurus taught us all how to not eat cake with a mask.
And interestingly, it got a million viewers, but they didn't even manage to sell out the allocated tickets.
Is that right?
Yep, didn't they sell out the allocated tickets, but obviously everybody was watching at home, so I guess with air conditioning on.
It's more of a situational thing than the show-based thing, let's be honest. And in Florida, when things are still rife, I wouldn't be going to a show in Florida.
No,
I think I'd be rather watching on the telly.
I think everybody was dying All Out for the humidity, so I guess nobody would have wanted to go back after sitting in that.
Yeah, what can you do? Even though there was lots of lovely character development this week, we had like the little MJF and Jericho turning out to hate each other, and the big spoiler was that MJF has been signing off on Wardlow's checks. See? Long-term storytelling. Love it. But into the meat and two bones. First put over of this week, Jake the Snake Roberts, because every week that man is consistently one of the best promos in any show. He sounds like a rambling madman, but I think that is just his character now, and he is just a rambling madman, like what Rick used to do back in the day, just go off on one and everyone listens. And this new snakeskin attire he's been rocking, like with the little patches on his clothes, I'm loving that. And to top it all off, Lance Archer used his catchphrase correctly for the first time, which was just delightful. But we're going to have to move on. Sorry?
It's only been about 2 months.
But of course, the first Bury, because we love burying names here, has to be the Vicious Fictions. Why did they have to go for another alliterative name? And then, I mean, I wasn't actually going to bury it until I saw that their t-shirt is now a picture of Vicky Guerrero in a bikini. And I'm sorry, that's not something I particularly want to see. Or do I think it's particularly good taste? So, yeah, that's going to have to go down. And I'm going to have to go for two Burys this week as well, because something else happened that's really ticked me off a little bit. Why the hell did Jericho and Hager need to join the tag team division? First of all, what does this leave like Santees, that considering they're in the same like faction and are currently in a feud with another tag team and don't really have any of the same pool of singles wrestlers? And secondly, it's not as if we need more tag teams in the tag team division. There's fucking loads. Just seems like a bit of a, maybe just to get Jericho to some kind of double first burn to hold both belts or something like that. But
and you can't even see it being anything that ends in like a, because my first thought was, oh, maybe they'll have that as like the implosion in our circle and have the two teams against one another, but doesn't it really seem like there's a obvious way to go there either? It's a wee bit
maybe splitting Hager away from Jericho, maybe. Yeah. But
oh,
I mean,
that could be a. Oh, I hope no, that's a waste of Jericho.
And as well, like, I think Hager suits the role perfectly, and now they've got all these other big men who I personally think are better big men than Jake Hager, especially like Brian Cage. Do you know what I mean? It's kind of carbon copy in many ways. So I don't want to see it, and I'm kind of disappointed in that. So. But the last one of the night is kind of, it's about 90% put over and about 10% bury. So Mr. Miro turns up to AEW Dynamite. So we're all very happy to see, and like, he looked genuinely so chuffed to be back in a wrestling ring. Did maybe go a little bit too far trying to amp up what little crowd was there, as I don't really think you get that effect when you have 100 people in the crowd, which was a bit of a shame for him. I think that was maybe a lack of just because he hasn't been in the ring recently and just expecting more noise, and it's the first time he's been out to like an empty crowd. But yeah, it was great. I mean, the outfit, I love the trousers. I'm slightly questioning the Gucci Mickey Mouse t-shirt. But
I'm the opposite. I'm the opposite. I love the t-shirt, but not the trousers.
Excellent. Right, so you can have the t-shirt. I love the trousers. Everybody wins. But my other big question is, this: the best man is a gimmick? I mean, I like the way he's trying to justify it and stuff, but I'm not really too sure how that's going to pan out in the long run, really. But if he can just do a Jericho and make himself up a new name next week, so it's probably not that big of an issue and I'm overlooking it. And your match of the night has to be Dustin versus Brody, the breakup with Colt Cabana, and then that shot to end the night of poor Dustin being kicked straight in the nads.
You've left out a certain Bury, which I think I would have put in, was Matt Hardy and that promo we cut in the ring. What do you make of it, Alex?
Well, first of all, I think we all have to maybe retrospectively say that we hope that Matt Hardy is okay, as I think we were all too busy gossiping last week to actually think of the medical considerations of Matt Hardy's situation. But it just seemed like the ultimate let get me out of jail free card for him in the management. And I'm almost in a way surprised that he did that. You know, with the way Rebby was being, I thought it would maybe be a little more quiet and he would just kind of let it, could wait till it phased out. So you've kind of got to give them a little bit of kudos for at least trying to tackle it.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not sure how I feel on it, because I'm like, I feel like having him there for a start, they obviously had to address stuff, but they had him do it while walking on eggshells. Obviously, still hasn't mentioned the injury that's keeping him out. Hasn't mentioned why he's not cleared. Just said he's going to leave and then come back for the AEW Championship, which is a bit odd. But for me, that makes it feel a bit like a ratings grab having them there in the first place because of how they addressed it. But I do think they done it perfectly by having Miro on immediately after, because who's going to talk about Matt Hardy when Rusev has just debuted in AEW? The perfect crime.
I mean, that, as you say, though, it's obviously done the job. There's a million viewers, first time they've hit a million. I tell you what, Vince is looking over his shoulder now if he wasn't already, that's for sure.
I imagine the proposed NXT move to Tuesday nights has been slowly cancelled.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think they'd maybe be more inclined to put it there because I don't know how they bring it back, because I think Dynamite was brilliant, and if a million people have tuned into a brilliant, apart from the Matt Hardy stuff, tuned into a brilliant show, then I think they're going to come back. And if they've been watching that over NXT, then they're going to head to head this week. Next week's figure might be an interesting one. Would they be surprised to see a big AEW win?
Yeah, we'll move on to NXT. I mean, I think, you know, for me, NXT hasn't really been the same. I think it's still think it's a great show. And I still think the wrestling, you know, I always say I still think it's one of the best wrestling show out there, but I'm an NXT mark. But the storytelling, I think, has went downhill since the shift against going up against the AEW. But we'll continue our buddies and putovers. And I'm only going to do one buddy this week, but let's get into some putovers first of all. Kushida, man. Kushida is back. He came down.
This is you now getting excited for a New Japan talent, yeah?
Oh, Kushida. I love Kushida. Love Kushida. You know, Dream, which was a bit weird, was involved, did a squash match with Ashanti Thee Adonis. And then Kushida came down and he looked like a different Kushida. He looked just, you know, at it and just like, just, you know, with the bit between his teeth. And I think, you know, when he came into NXT, obviously Triple H was desperate to sign him. You know, and you thought he's going to get the NXT title put on him pretty quickly, but it's never happened for one reason or another, whether that's been injury, whether that's just been storylines kind of interrupted it. But this is the time, I'm hoping this is the time for Kushida to start the rise, because he's brilliant in the ring and it was great.
I think the problem with that is that they not use him on 205 quite a lot, and so they split in between the two, so they're maybe holding back putting at the very least the NXT title on him, and it would probably be more realistic to think he could probably come back and is going to be challenging Fantasma.
Santos Escobar.
Yeah.
That's the one. I was trying to have like all of the Mexican drug cartel names running around my head, and I just couldn't pick them.
I think it would be a waste, though. I really do think it would be a waste.
I think he'd be a bit annoyed as well, as one of the reasons he wanted to leave Japan was that he wasn't being taken seriously as like a heavyweight, and he was only ever going to be in the junior heavyweight division. So putting him into the cruiserweight division over here, it doesn't seem like the best idea.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Let's go to the buddies. I'm going to do one buddy this weekend. It's the fact that Tegan Knox turned up at a dinner party wearing wrestling merch. We're all marks here, you know. We probably have done it in the past, but come on, it's a nice dinner at the Garganos. I mean, to be fair, the spread didn't look brilliant, I'll be honest with you. But, you know, you went around, come on, at least put on something nice, Tegan. Didn't you just turn up in your wrestling merch t-shirt? I couldn't quite catch whose merch it was, right enough, but it was definitely wrestling merch that she was wearing.
But I missed it, but I think next time she should get a pair of Zubas on and a Wrestling Daft mask, and you'll be all right.
Completely. Of course, if it was Wrestling Daft merch, it would have been acceptable and wouldn't have been in the buddies. And let's also go on to the putovers as well. I quite like the idea of an Adam Hill face turn. Adam Cole face turn. He is Adam Heel. But they're kind of creeping towards that way. You know, he lost the title to Balor, which I think was obviously the right decision to make until Karrion Kross gets back. But yeah, there was shaking hands at the end. So I'm good with an Adam Cole face turn. I think, you know, when a crowd gets back in, he's so over with the crowd. You know, so
it's already happened. I think it happened with Pat.
Pat McAfee, I think, was definitely the heel in there, kind of. I know it was a weird dynamic, but he was the heel.
I don't know
the punch from Pat, definitely was it.
Yeah, I don't know where at least the rest of Undisputed Era right enough, but
I was about to say that. It doesn't seem like they're turning name face. They seem to be still heelish. So,
in saying that, it was a wee hint of Kyle O'Reilly maybe turning face the other week there when he kind of ran. Yeah.
Well, it's breakup tag team week. It's time to split up Brody Strong and Kyle O'Reilly. I don't want them to, but maybe Trips has been told he's got to split up 10 of his tag teams to make up with the big roster.
I was going to say, I'm the opposite, man. I think if you're not putting them on Raw or SmackDown, you need to do something with them, because I'm getting a bit bored of them. And I never thought I'd say that about Adam Cole and the Undisputed Era. I think it's time to pull the trigger, have Roddy Strong try and take the leadership. I think that's the only way to go forward and make it engaging, because I'm just... It's still great seeing their matches, but I'm a bit bored of them storyline-wise. Just don't have that much.
It's a good shout. It is a good shout. So, yeah, we'll hopefully see that happening. And match of the night, steel cage match, Ripley versus Martinez. I want to see more of this, Rhea Ripley and Mercedes Martinez. And I want to get Raquel Gonzalez involved in there. That's a big match. But I thought when... I should have put this over, but like, why has no one ever done that really in the past? When you get at the start of the cage match, throw all the weapons into the ring when you're locked in the cage because there's no DQ. Do that. So they had tables, they had kendo sticks, they had the full shebang, and it was just two big women going at it, and I thought it was bloody brilliant. So, that would be my match of the night. Let's move on to Friday night SmackDown with Craig.
SmackDown was pretty decent again this week. I think they've decided that Retribution are exclusively on the Raw, so that helps it with SmackDown being a better show. Pretty good.
It makes so much sense in the continuity of the larger WWE universe.
Just complete sense. But I think that definitely helps the show. Obviously, like Roman Reigns coming back, he's at that star power and stuff. But my first put over would be Sami Zayn. He's came back, he's not had a match yet, but he's still he's pretty much the most kind of engaging person on the show straight away. And even before he finished up, before when the pandemic started, he didn't wrestle that much, even though he was Intercontinental Champion. He was always one of the best promos on the show. He's always captivating, I think, in terms of you can just tell he's just annoying wee dick. when he wants to be and that's it. Plays up to the part brilliant, so I know he's been really good since he came back. I like how he's just embracing the beard and hair during the lockdown, and it's just no bothering to get it cut or shave. he's just no caring, he's just keeping it going and see how long he can go for. But Sami Zayn's been good since he came back. We'll be interested to see.
Sami, I'd be really interested to know how many matches Sami's actually had since he started that new heel gimmick.
He's not had many at all. I was thinking that before, when he won the Intercontinental Championship, he had the match at WrestleMania with Daniel Bryan. But because he was with Cesaro and Shinsuke Nakamura as their manager type thing, so he never wrestled at all, hardly, about one or two matches. And then since he's came back, it's not a match, but it just shows you he didn't have to be exposed in the ring all the time just to get over. You can wrestle very sparingly and still be over. So
I mean, I'm assuming
that's
Sorry, Gary, on you.
I was just going to say, that's definitely the thing where you said that they'll be overexposing them, because I think in the ring, it's really impossible to dislike, impossible to Sami Zayn, because he is just a brilliant, face competitor in the ring. I don't think he's got many heel tendencies in the ring, so maybe just not having him wrestle is the way to keep him as a really good heel.
Yeah, I think the only thing as well that maybe what he'd do is change his music. Made me, when he was kind of leaving the ring on SmackDown, they started playing again, and it made you remember doesn't quite suit the heel gimmick a bit. So
does he not dance to it really dickily now as well?
He did do that before.
So I suppose that kind
I love
of
the word
well.
Dickily.
Presume it's going to lead to Clash of Champions. I can see him holding on to the IC title, because Clash of Champions, presuming it'll be a Jeff Hardy, or maybe a triple threat, actually.
I think AJ Styles will be in there and all.
I think Sami might hold the title. I think Sami might end up holding the IC title. But
I hope so. My buddy would be... It's not really a buddy, it's just merely a thing that's kind of annoying, is with Sheamus and this Snatch gear that he's got going on. It's fair enough, if that's a kind of gimmick he's going for and stuff, but when he's wrestling, he just wrestles in his normal gear. So like when he's backstage, he's got these hand wraps on, ready to fight. But then when he is ready to fight, he's like, I'll take my hand wraps off now and just get in my trunks. Doesn't make sense. He's got like the bandages on ready, like he's for a street fight, and then when it comes to actual wrestling, he's just, nah, I'll take these off. So it just doesn't seem very consistent.
That we're definitely going to see him in Raw Underground, aren't we? That's got to be the way with it, with that attire.
But it'd be good if they just like kind of made the gimmick like part of like his ring gear and all that type of stuff, rather than just being for when he stops a bit backstage. Just to seem right.
But it does seem that Vince's or someone in creative has just went back. So we were talking about this last week. He's going back to a 90s back catalog, early 2000s back catalog, because we've got, you know, Alexa Bliss charging about as Harley Quinn. We've got Sheamus dressed up as the boy from Snatch. We've got Ridge Holland coming in as one of the Peaky Blinders.
Happy Gilmore thing. I think Vince has spent £100 on Music Magpie.
That's where all my DVDs have went to Vince McMahon's.
Let's move on to your other put over then, Craig.
It'd probably be Bailey's promo and just kind of like how she's like going on for the sort of beatdown of Sasha last week. Obviously, like, we all knew that when they were kind of getting together as a tag team and stuff, it was going to eventually lead to the breakup. They weren't obvious about it at the start who was going to be the heel coming out of that and who was going to be the face, but then obviously the last kind of month or so would have made it obvious. But I know she's really pulling off as a heel, and that promo was really good. And it just, you just thought, you're a dick type thing when she finished it.
Do you think they can hold off long enough for WrestleMania? It's a long way away, but do you think they can build enough story that they could hold off to that match till WrestleMania?
Storyline injury, John.
I was thinking they were going to keep Sasha Banks off TV for a while, but I think I've seen earlier today that she's going to be on SmackDown this week.
Yeah.
So, they advertised it between the NFL, between every game yesterday.
She could come out with like a crutch and be like, I'm on the shelf till January or something like that.
So unless they do like another beatdown angle where like it does put her out for a long time, then that I can only see that being the way they can drag it on WrestleMania, because if she does come back and she is wrestling, there's no way they can.
Chris, you don't want to throw this match away when there's no crowd there, do you? That's the thing. They'll be holding off, and you just think, do they hold up? Just put her out like Alex says, storyline injury, and hold her off until that WrestleMania. She goes on to win the Royal Rumble next year.
There is one wee thing for that. Our good pal Alex McCarthy spoke with both Sasha Banks and Bailey. I think it was a year ago now, but apparently they said that they weren't sure if they wanted a WrestleMania match because they wouldn't get the time, and they'd probably rather have the time than have the WrestleMania platform. But you never know, because they might get the time on WrestleMania because it is that big a match now. My only thing now is with Sasha Banks being in The Mandalorian, maybe they'll be like, pull the trigger because she's got hundreds of hype about her now, and try and get the SEO value out of everybody searching for Sasha Banks after her being in The Mandalorian.
I agree.
The other thought I've just had there is, you guys are talking about pulling off the match. We don't know how long it's going to be till crowds come back in. Like, it could be like forever. I mean, we're almost about to hit lockdown 2, quarantine boogaloo, you know? So, I mean, it's...
Yeah, I thought they were going to wait for the beatdown, like the turn, basically. I thought they were waiting until crowds back were coming for that. But they obviously just decided to pull the trigger on, so they might do that with a match as well.
Match tonight, Craig?
Probably the women's four-way that Nikki Cross ended up winning to become the number one contender. The matches weren't the great on SmackDown this week. They were kind of just filler and the storylines were kind of moving along, but that was probably the best match. I think the best part about it, well, part of Nikki Cross winning, was Alexa Bliss doing the Sister Abigail. That was quite a nice wee touch. I thought there was like just that wee wrinkle in it that I thought was quite good. So I'd probably say that would be the match of the night.
Yeah, because we're teasing, obviously, like a new addition. Everyone thought to the Firefly Funhouse, and everyone thought it was going to be Alexa, and then they got a...
I did laugh at that, to be fair, when it came on screen.
It was good. So I know that's... that's the thing about SmackDown. So it is creating watchable storyline television that you want to go back and see, with the Reigns Jay stuff, with the Alexa Bliss stuff. Where's Braun Strowman going? We might find that out when we get to Gary and his Raw review.
Aye, pretty much the opposite of SmackDown. Raw, Raw's not doing too well then, I don't think. It's not the most watchable show. It wasn't that bad last night, but my first put over has to be Zelina Vega. I've been saying for a while that I wouldn't mind her being in, you know, a general manager role. I wouldn't mind her being, you know, the leader of this faction, but the faction, they weren't really booking that well, so it was a wee bit, you know, a waste. Now it looks like we're going to get full in-ring competitors, Zelina Vega, and I love that because she's brilliant in the ring. You know, we already know that for being in Fighting With My Family and being trusted to put on, like, good matches, looking like AJ Lee against somebody that isn't a wrestler. Every time we've seen her in the ring, she's been brilliant, but yet it looks like she's going to be maybe Asuka's next contender, so I'm just delighted we're seeing more of her. I'm glad they've pulled the trigger on that faction because it wasn't doing it for me, and it's about time because it means we'll not get to see them going up against the Street Profits again. So I'm just glad they've pulled the trigger there. Way too much of that match. I want to thank
Barry Gary for not mentioning her previous run in TNA as a women's tag team champion, considering now they just fired her partner this week as well.
So, aye, definitely she is brilliant in the ring. And I think hasn't it got to really show that? Even in NXT, I don't think we got to see much of her wrestle. Wrestled a wee bit here and there, but not really that much. So I just can't wait to see what she does. And then from talking about Asuka there to burying this, which, again, there was no blame on Asuka for this, but the ending of the Asuka-Mickie James match. So it's kind of came out now, it's not really been confirmed, but Mickie James has been liking tweets for like Mick Foley and that, saying, oh, maybe it was ended, Lance Storm as well, ended because of a shoulder injury. But the match just get like completely ended abruptly. It was, I don't even think the Asuka lock was locked in. It was some kind of weird like roll out of the Asuka lock. And then the referee was just like, no, that's it. She can't continue. There's a brilliant screenshot at the moment happening where Asuka's got the sleeper hold locked in and Mickie James is like, as in what happened there? So I just don't know what happened. The referee was pretty bad for the full match, but I don't know if the ending was on him or if he got a call for the back saying, that's time, wrap it up, just call it there, or if she was injured. But it was just confusing. The commentary team did sell it quite well by saying they had no clue what had happened, but it was just bad, just really bad to watch. Yeah. Other burial is again kind of something that they've done, but it's the way they've not shown that they've done it. Aleister Black. I don't even know if I need to add to that, but Aleister Black, I mentioned it last week about him with a blindfold just ripping it off in Raw Underground. Didn't really pay any attention to his eye. I couldn't tell if he had the contact lens or no, which is the full storyline has been his eye. He came back this week for his first, you know, in-ring match for a long time since his last one, which I think was a loss to Seth Rollins, which I think was his first ever singles loss, apart from the AJ Styles one that was a gauntlet match. He competed against Kevin Owens, took the eye patch off to start the match, which it's like, well, if you don't need it otherwise, why do you need it outside the ring? Took the eye patch off. They didn't zoom in on his eye at all, but he is wearing a black contact and they've just not shown it. He's wearing new long leg, like kind of tights, which doesn't make sense. Just show off the fact that he's covered in Hunter's like tattoos and, you know, looks the part when he's wearing trunks. Lost the match. Lost the match against Kevin Owens. And yeah, again, the commentary just didn't play it as being anything big. It was just, oh, Kevin Owens has just beat Aleister Black. Aleister Black was the most dominant superstar on Raw for like the past, until last month, the past year. But aye, they've made a pure arse of Aleister Black pretty much. I don't think they're doing him any justice whatsoever. Other put over is Keith Lee. I can't say much more than I've already said, but they have done what I mentioned in the news last week where I get told, and for a big push, they're going to protect him and all that, but they might tweak what they do with him along as they go along. They've done that now. He's wearing a singlet, looks a lot better, still get the rubbish music, but we'll see if that ends anytime soon. I believe WWE are now working with another music person, maybe two. The first one I think is called Def Rebel, which isn't a very good name, so it doesn't fill me with confidence, but I don't know if they can do much worse than what we've already got. However, someone else who has come back from furlough is Josiah Williams, who is the NXT kind of host for the live shows, I guess the best way to do it, but he does a load of other things as well. He's also a music producer. I think they might call on him to do something, so we'll see. Hopefully the music gets changed, but at least we're taking the right steps. And again, he didn't lose against the WWE champion Drew McIntyre, which is pretty good in itself. So I just putting over Keith Lee.
I liked Drew McIntyre's tweet as well before the match about saying like I could maybe get your music changed or something.
I'll have a wee word personal.
I can't believe you've went through the buddies and put overs without a mention of Retribution.
Or Raw Underground.
Or Raw Underground. Well done. I did enjoy Gary's tweet. Retribution, if you're watching the video version, they've got a brand and they've got a logo now, which was shot right, it was put around the Thunderdome. So Retribution, that rebellious faction, that have got their own logo now. And Gary put out a little tweet of the scene from Family Guy when they're talking about G.I. Joe and Cobra, and how terrorists groups need a brand identity. So, yeah, that was...
need that brand recognition.
So, match of the night.
They've still not got T-shirts yet, though. They've still not got T-shirts. I'm waiting on them bringing out the T-shirts before I go.
Don't wait until they've got a face reveal. That's the day the T-shirts will go live. Oh, like, as that mask comes up, the person in the WWE shop will be clicking on go.
Match of the night, Gary.
I've got a joint match of the night because they were the only two good matches on the card, but both of them were brilliant. So the first one is the steel cage match, Dominic Seth Rollins. Again, I've been praising them for putting on good work for the past however long. I don't know if anybody's seen the actually made my Botchamania debut, thankfully not by making a botch, but the thing that got left out that ended up, I think, is getting tacked onto the next video that Matthew Gregg put up was Seth Rollins being very vocal in his match with Dominic, and it was just nice to see. If anybody's seen that video, and then the video of Seth Rollins giving him the arm wraps after their match at SummerSlam, brilliant. Could watch the two of them in the ring all day, and they were brilliant in the steel cage match. But the other one that deserves a mention is Cedric Alexander v Ricochet. Brilliant match. Everything you'd expect for that match. Brilliant selling for both of them. The best sell of the lumbar check I've ever seen. So aye, brilliant match.
Yeah.
Good. Brilliant matches.
Good. Well, at least there was some good matches on Raw. That's good to know. Well, thanks very much for joining us, Craig, as ever, and doing SmackDown for us. We'll get you on for the hat trick bit sometime soon.
No worries.
And remember, get your buddies and put overs for this week's wrestling on our Twitter at Wrestling Daft, on Insta at Wrestling Daft Podcast, or just Wrestling Daft on Facebook. And Rab and Grado will give you a mention on the show this Friday. Once again, it's time to return to the land that graced the world with karaoke. It's turning Japanese, but first of all, what is your karaoke song, Alex?
See, I'm always a big fan of We Built This City. I don't know why, but right.
I can imagine Gary's quite a good chanter. He has a look. He has the look of a good singer about him, doesn't he?
Nah, not very. I've got two boring ones. I either go for the calling wherever you will go. I think you'll prefer the other one. The other one is the Mavericks Dance the Night Away.
But my favourite one is one of my friends who just likes to sing, is it the song Peaches? And he just stands up and shouts, we're moving to the country, we're going to eat a lot of peaches repetitively.
Yeah, that's an easy one. I'll give you a word of advice. Never do Hotel California on karaoke. Because see the instrumental breaks in it, they go on for ages and you just stand up there looking like a prick as that happens. Before we move on to turning Japanese and talking about the G1, however, I've got our Japanese wrestling catchphrase for you. Are you ready for this one? We're doing it every week. You've got to guess the wrestling catchphrase from this Japanese saying. Here we go. A honto, honto, no shinjutsu. A honto, honto, no shinjutsu.
I'm not the good guy, I'm not the bad guy, I'm the guy.
No.
I think of something that's got two little syllables like that. I am terrible at this.
I think I've got it. To be the man, you've got to beat the man.
No!
No.
Alex,
I'm just giving up, and I'm just going to say the same thing I say every week, which is, because that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
It is not. It's true. Oh, it's damn true. One of these days, you'll get it. Anyway, let's get on to the Japanese wrestling. Building up to the G1, what is happening, Alex?
Lots. Right, so I thought I'd start off with a little bit of story time and we'll talk you through where the G1 came from and all that stuff. And I'm going to throw lots of nonsensical facts at you because that's one thing that I do love about New Japan is they're like AEW and they love all their stats and things like that. So we'll just dive straight into it. So they've held basically a league-based tournament since all the way back in 1974 in some way, base, or form. For its early inception, it was normally won, as all of Japanese wrestling was, by Antonio Inoki. Oh, wait a second. Antonio Inoki fact attack, I learned it when I was figuring this out. This will be before your vintage, John, so I don't think you'll be able to answer this. But Gary, do you remember the TV show Yu-Gi-Oh?
Yes, yes.
Do you remember the character Joey?
Oh, no, I don't
think so. He was the one from Boston. He had the terrible American accent.
I think I have brief memory of that.
See, before he would get into a fight, he'd do this big chin face, and apparently it was the animator's tribute to Antonio Inoki, because in Japan, they just associate Antonio Inoki with being hard.
That's WWE Hall of Famer Antonio Inoki as well, I believe. But that's also kind of like the Disney Pixar film Coco, which has a cameo, you would say, by El Santo from Mexico. Just a random wrestler turning up in a cartoon for no reason.
He's like a cultural phenomenon in Mexico, is he not, El Santo?
Yeah, so I guess very similar but other side of the world.
Please, for next week, get in touch with us and give us your random wrestling TV appearances. That would be great, because these are great, guys.
Everybody better say Bret Hart and the Simpsons.
Bret Hart and the Simpsons is good. Bret Hart and the Simpsons. And, of course, Rikishi, Mark Henry, and was it Mick Foley on the Big Show?
Does that count if it's on a wrestler's TV show, though?
Yeah, that's really what that counts. Oh, The Rock on Star Trek Voyager. There you go. There's one.
And Goldberg in the Goldbergs.
Trinity, sorry. Sorry, we even had, in its early inception, we even had a certain Mr. Terry Boella win, because I refused to use his wrestling name, and was given like one of the precursor championships, the IWGP Heavyweight Championship. And the other interesting thing I found was that in 1989, they actually held a World Cup tournament against wrestlers of the then Soviet Union. So can you imagine like a weird Japanese-Russian kind of wrestling tournament? I really want to go into YouTube and find some of that. So they took a bit of a break in 1990, as I believe that was when Inoki was being shafted out of the company and returned in its current guise in about 1991. And since then, its list of winners is pretty much a who's who of Japanese wrestling, from Masashiro Chiono, from the great Muta, and Hiroshi Tenzan, I believe this is the name, and carrying all the way up to more recent winners like your Tanahashis, your Naitos, WWE's Shinsuke Nakamura, and of course AEW's Kenny Omega. So, what have we got down? It's going to be a 20 wrestler tournament for a heavyweight title shot at the biggest show of the year, which is Wrestle Kingdom. You'll also notice Dave Meltzer will get very excitable at this type of year, and star ratings will start going through the roof. It's usually a bit of a treasure trove of matches, so I can't really blame him too much for that. And the winner's contract, they have to walk around and carry around in a briefcase like in WWE, but it has a very Japanese name, which is the Tokyo Dome IWGP Heavyweight Championship Challenge Rights Certificate. And this is like flashed before every match.
I love that.
So it's a little bit...
Not exactly money in the bank, is it?
Not really. So they have a round robin format. So basically every wrestler in each block that's up behind me that we'll go through in a second will face each other over the course of 4 weeks. So it does get pretty intense, and I feel slightly bad for the wrestlers having to literally wrestle every day for a solid month, but that's the New Japan way. So kicks off on Saturday, so the day after, another big Japanese moment when the release of Super Mario Brothers All-Stars comes out on the 35th anniversary of Super Mario Bros. So just more Japanese nonsense for you there. So yeah, it's a good time to be a Japanese nerd. Talking through who we have now, John, whenever you recognise one, you shout out and you say you recognise them, because I'm genuinely just intrigued to see how many of these names have kind of transcended the pond. So number one was last year's winner, Kota Ibushi.
Yes, heard from.
Kota Ibushi is a very big deal in Japan. He was treated a little bit like a cruiserweight over in the States, but has been very much elevated to that kind of main event heavyweight status through the G1 last year. We then have Jeff Cobb.
He was in AEW a few months ago.
He was in AEW. He's been quite a constant in New Japan for the last couple of months. The last couple of years, actually. He's quite a solid mid-card for them over there. And this is his second year coming in. Kazuchika Okada.
Yes, I've heard of Okada.
So Okada has won this twice, and this is his ninth consecutive entry. So usually expect big things from Okada. He's normally winning his group or in the finals or winning the whole thing. So he's expect a usual big performance from him.
Okada's like the Cena of New Japan, isn't he?
See, I'd call him more like Tanahashi. I'd say Tanahashi's the Cena person.
Tanahashi was the Cena, yeah, apart from me. Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And he's got more like broad appeal in Japan, even though he was in a film that was called My Dad is a Heel Wrestler, which I've still never watched, actually. I do want to watch. Tomohiro Ishii.
Nope, never heard of him.
Also, Ishii's great. He's about 5'6". He was originally, I think he was patched from the New Japan Dojo for being too short, and he's just like this wee stone. He's called the Stone Pitbull, and he's just like a wee... He's like as wide as he is tall. He's great. He had a fantastic match with John Moxley last year.
It reminds me of Taz. I don't know why. I think just the stature, but it reminds me a lot of Taz.
I think it's the face. And does he not wear a towel around his neck when he comes out as well? So there's a lot of Tazisms. There's a lot of Tazisms there. So he's one to watch out for. He has some cracking matches and usually puts in a really good performance in the G1. So this is like his eighth consecutive appearance as well. So... Now we have a slightly more questionable one. Now, I talked last week about how there was big plans for this man, but I'd be surprised if there still are. A certain Mr. Will Ospreay.
Yeah, obviously heard of Will Ospreay.
Yeah, so there's obviously still been... The allegations are kind of still haunting around him, and so I'd be intrigued to see how he does. I'd imagine he will probably end up losing more than he will winning, but we'll see what happens. Shingo Takagi.
Nope.
That's a no. So Shingo is just one of their solid mid-cards. He was in last year and has done very well. He's usually puts on a decent match or two. Big old Minoru Suzuki.
Everywhere turns Suzuki. Grado's meant to be fighting a few months back, and that never happened, which is a detriment to wrestling across the world.
Well, see, he's also their never open weight champion, which is probably their lowest rated singles belt, but it gets passed around quite a lot. So normally what they do in this is they will kind of find his next feud through that. So imagine it to be someone from that first bracket. We have Taichi, who is the Lord Taichi, who comes out to a really bad mouth lip-syncing attempt to opera music. But he's also one half of the IWGP Tag Team Champions with Zack Sabre Jr. So... Oh. He usually does all right for himself. And our last entrant in Block A is Yujiro Takahashi, just another kind of casual mid-card guy who's not half bad in the ring.
I've heard Takahashi as well. I've heard Takahashi.
I think, did we miss out a certain Switchblade?
Oh, I was about to get to that. Oh, yes, I totally missed you. I've missed Jay White in my list. Oh, yes. And of course, Jay White, the leader of said Bullet Club, who is actually a bit of a surprise entrant for me since he turned up in New Japan strong. So they must have obviously quarantined him for 2 weeks to get him in. But I expect big things from Jay White. And you can kind of get a bit of a prediction for how the block's going to go if you have a look at the final night. So Block 1, not so much actually. But you've got like an Okada versus Ospreay match there. You've got Ishii versus Jay White. So we could see a bit of a standout performance from Ishii if Jay is going to potentially win the block. And we've also got Ibushi versus Taichi, but again, I can't really see Taichi being particularly involved in the top of the block. So moving on to your B block, number one is obviously Hiroshi Tanahashi, the John Cena, as John liked to point out, of New Japan, in his 19th entry, in his 19th consecutive entry, and he has won it 3 times. So there's always a bit of a favourite put on Tanahashi, and even though he is getting on a wee bit, he still can put in quite a good performance. And the fans love him.
Yes, and Tanahashi I'm aware of as well.
Juice Robinson. You heard of Juice, John? Do you remember CJ Parker from NXT?
No, I don't. Doesn't ring a bell.
No, he's an American. He's become a really big face over there. He's really good. Like the Japanese crowd love him almost as much as Tanahashi.
You've got
Hiroki Goto, who's
in New Japan a couple of months ago or last year.
Yeah, for him versus Moxley was one of the big feuds that actually came. He was Moxley's first match in New Japan, and did he not beat him for the US title at the same time?
Yeah,
so there's a good feud going on kind of between Juice and Moxley at the moment. Hiroki Goto is another kind of classic New Japan stalwart. He's actually won this in 2008, but he was kind of one of their big pushes that's just very much steadied off into the mid-card over the couple of years. And John, personal favourite of mine, Mr. Toriyano?
No, not I'm afraid I've not heard of that one either.
Oh, he's the comedy wrestler I keep talking about. He's great. It's his 15th appearance, and you can't even remember. He's the one who won the provisional King of Pro Wrestling 2020, John. Oh,
of course, yeah.
Yoshihashi, just another classic mid-carder. He's actually quite good, and he's had a bit of a resurgence recently. Tetsuya Naito. So, interestingly, they do put the heavyweight champion into this. They've only won twice, I believe, and I think it just means they get to pick their opponent.
Oh, really? That's interesting. I like that spin on it. I like that spin on it, because then would you just not just pick the worst guy you could possibly find?
Yeah, you can pick whoever you want, and normally they get like normally someone from his block will be like his last contender before he gets to Wrestle Kingdom as well. And with the way they've structured this block is quite interesting, because also in this block is Evil. So the former ex-champion who dropped the belt to him quite recently, Sanada, another one of his stablemates who's kind of in a bit of a feud with him and Evil and everyone else. So there should be some really interesting kind of dynamics around there. And then they've gone even heavier on the Bullet Club in that side as well, because Kenta is also on that side. Another bit of a surprise, since he's been in Strong quite a lot. And rounding off the group is good old-fashioned Zack Sabre Jr., the Octopus of New Japan and the King of All Submissions. And again, as I was talking about looking at the last night, you can kind of have a look that we have Evil versus Sanada and Naito versus Kenta. So that kind of tells you that those four are probably going to be your big, big players. Now, just to round this off, I'll give my own personal predictions. Me and Gary have already had this discussion, and unfortunately, we have the same prediction. So I personally am thinking an Evil Jay White final, with kind of going for dominance and leader of the Bullet Club to go and take on Naito at Wrestle Kingdom.
Yeah, what is it? Internal warfare or something was the phrase that got banded about a few years ago. I'm like, we're definitely going back down that route. We're definitely getting a power struggle in Bullet Club.
Right.
I could see them doing like a split and having like New Japan America versus Bullet Club America versus Bullet Club Japan, which would make a lot of sense considering the current situation. I think it would also make Strong seem a little bit more relevant and push New Japan America.
So. Yeah, it makes sense. I'll go for Evil because he just dropped the title really quickly. And then that he only had it for like, was it a month or something like that? And then, so I think he'll put it back on Evil. There we go. There's my prediction. Bold against Naito for Wrestle Kingdom.
And bold prediction from John to copy the other two predictions.
Well, thank you very much for that as ever, Alex. Looking forward to the start of the G1. Obviously, I'll be keeping... When's it actually start on the telly?
The 19th, so it's this weekend on Saturday.
This weekend, so we'll get an update on the G1 next week once again when we go turning Japanese. Until next time, sayonara. In this business, it's all about the money, as Dusty Rhodes always used to say, and we basically want yours. So sign up to our Patreon, patreon.com/wrestlingdaft. Up there, you'll get loads of extra content from us. Patreon.com/wrestlingdaft. 3 tiers to choose from, all varying different levels of content. For example, you'll get the video version of this show if you sign up for tier 1. You'll get on the Continental Championship, which is about $10 a month. You will get everything for tier 1, plus you get a video version of the main show with Rab and Grado. You get invited to our Patreon-only pay-per-view parties. You'll get bonus episodes every month. We're currently planning the next bonus episode, but we are going to be doing a brand new Mark's podcast once a month, where we do something called the Dafties, where we're going to award Wrestler of the Month, Match of the Month. What else are we doing, Alex?
We're doing Worst Wrestler of the Month, we're doing Worst Match of the Month, and we're going to do the Worst Moment of the Month. I'll admit, I just want to talk about the bad things more than I want to talk about the good things.
Excellent. So we'll be doing that this month as well. Or you get involved in Tier 3, it's a World Heavyweight Championship, $20 a month. You get free Wrestling Daft t-shirt to sign up for 3 months. We've got a lot of those coming up this month. Plus, you get the chance to do the run-in or become a mark on this show. So if you fancy any of that, get involved right now. Patreon.com/WrestlingDaft.
I'm afraid I've got some bad news.
Bad news.
Bad news.
It's the Wrestling News with Gary Cassidy.
Before we start the news, can I just ask, were you trying to do the match of the day tune to warm up to the news tune?
No, I've just to go day, because this is behind
the curtain. I was just waiting for
this is a little bit behind the curtain, ladies and gentlemen. We don't actually have the music you've just heard isn't actually played while we're recording the podcast. I put that out in post-production. So when I'm doing it and singing It's the Wrestling News, I have to time it out in my head. So every time I do it, I have to get the ITN news theme in my head. So it's the match of the day theme, however, Alex, is...
Oh, yeah, of course. I apologise. I've got my TV themes very, very wrong.
There is a big, big difference between the IT.
This is very inside baseball. I feel like I've just watched The Undertaker versus Roman Reigns, and Undertaker's took his hat off and said, by the way, that was all pre-recorded and pre-scripted. We didn't actually do the match. Just so you know, it's not appeals. It might look like we're fighting, but we're just working away.
We're breaking kayfabe on Wrestling Daft. How dare we? We should have more respect for the business. Right, okay, let's get into the news then. And it doesn't appear that we're going to see a reuniting of the Hardy Boys in AEW, as Jeff has just signed a new contract, according to BT Sports.
From breaking kayfabe to breaking news that came out yesterday, and nice wee flawless segues that you like, John. So it's a bit of an odd one. There was a rumour, I guess we'll say, for Dave Meltzer a couple of weeks ago that Jeff Hardy had, and I don't think this was, you know, apart from the number he put on it, wasn't breaking news in any way, that Jeff Hardy, because he'd been off TV, WWE could tack more time onto the end of his contract. So his contract wouldn't end at the same time Matt Hardy's did, which we know because Matt Hardy's ended, Jeff Hardy's did not. But there's a wee bit of kind of, no confusion now, I guess, that's not maybe the right word, but Dave Meltzer said that Jeff Hardy has 20 months left to go on his contract as a result of that being tacked on. However, yesterday, BT Sport, as they do their wee wonderful Zoom interviews, as we do in this day and age with WWE superstars, did one with Jeff Hardy, and they've been pushing strongly on their social media for no more words to come back. They asked Jeff Hardy about it, and Jeff Hardy said that that was a big kind of component and him re-signing with WWE, which are like, maybe that happened a while ago, maybe he meant when he re-signed, you know, that was in the contract for if Matt Hardy ever leaves. But no, the way he said it was he had re-signed a contract in between the empty arena shows happening. So in the past, whatever, 3-4 months, I think we might be longer than that now, maybe 6 months or something we're at now. But essentially said that the no more words coming back when a crowd was back in the building was a big deal in terms of him re-signing, and he wants that back because he thinks the crowd will love it. So yeah, that's interesting enough. But also, who did we talk about returning last week, I think it was? Willow? Or maybe a couple of weeks ago, we spoke about the potential for a Willow return. Jeff Hardy said he wants to face The Fiend Bray Wyatt. So Willow versus The Fiend might be something that we're just about to see. That'll be an interesting one to see if it happens.
They'll
probably just do Willow versus Fiend versus Demon versus some other guy from the street wearing face paint just to round it off.
I think if
the Kiss Demon, get him in there.
I think if The Fiend's out, going to come out of the title picture, which is probably going to happen, I think that would be the next feud for The Fiend. It would make sense, wouldn't it?
My only worry would be that they've already had this whole thing of Jeff Hardy battling his inner demons. I think they would try and project that on screen. So as much as I think both men would put on a good rivalry, I would have a wee bit of hesitation going into something like that. And I don't want to say it will happen before it does, but that would just be a wee thing that I would personally think they might try, and I would hope they didn't.
Yeah. New signing for AEW, a former WWE employee, it looks like.
Yeah, so interestingly, I don't even know if it happened last week, but Ty Conte signed with them as well. So yeah. It looks like they're definitely in the market for picking up new women's talent. That's something that Tony Khan had mentioned in the All Out post show as well, saying that because a lot of their talent in the women's division are stranded overseas, they don't know how long it will be before they get them back. Maybe they would be looking at picking up people. We mentioned that they did talk a lot about Thunder Rosa versus Serena Deeb. Obviously, a big fan of both women. We can see why maybe Thunder Rosa wouldn't be able to sign with AEW, but it looks like we might see a little bit more of her. However, Serena Deeb, Yeah, maybe she's signed, maybe she's not. According to Chris Jericho, she has. It wasn't so outright in saying that, but his exact quote was that, that Thunder Rosa had a hell of a debut and a great match against Serena Deeb. Got Serena Deeb signed, actually, I believe, was the exact quote that he said. So, again, you never know. Chris Jericho isn't the kind of person that puts this kind of thing out there and that tends to be false in any way, because he'd done it with Ty Conte and Anna Jay teaming up before it was announced. Obviously, he's the kind of guy that, he's not a, you know, an EVP or anything, but he's the kind of guy that will know this kind of thing in AEW. So you'd have to think that he might be right. And man, Serena Deeb looked good in the match, so I think she'd be a great addition.
I'm 100% for Serena Deeb with a full signing. I was putting her over hard last week, so they need to rebuild that women's division, and it seems like they've actually started doing it.
Yeah.
There's also a wee something for Wrestle Votes that's just broken, and while we've been on air, that I've just been sent as well.
Jingle for us.
So, Wrestle Votes, and I'll just read the exact tweet because it kind of says everything that needs to say. Over the past week or so, WWE have assembled a small team to figure out if running TV from outdoors venues would be feasible once the Thunderdome contract expires, which I think is a month, just over a month away now for the initial contract. Idea is both SmackDown and Raw would be in the same location each week. Southern states with good weather is the preference, all to be decided.
Oh, so
will they not learn from the AEW humidity debacle?
Yeah, I don't know much about that. I can't confirm how long the Florida weather lasts, but I know we're also in storm territory.
I was going to say, it's not hurricane season down that way.
I think if a wrestling show during a hurricane, it would be amazing.
Yeah.
So that's an interesting one, because obviously the AEW are doing it just now. The Thunderdome is contracted for at least 2 months from when it started. But you never know. Things can change. I'm not sure they would want to get rid of all that stuff straight away. But
keeping the Thunderdome, it's really good. I like it in there. And finally, the people behind Retribution and their new brand have been revealed, apparently.
Yeah, I think we mentioned a few of these names last week or a couple of weeks ago as well. And, you know, it is worth noting that they weren't the people for the start. We know that because the people at the start were a lot smaller. But it looks like the same people have stayed in terms of what we've seen on TV for the past 2 weeks, them cutting their promos and all that. It does seem like we have a set five people. Who knows if it will be them once the masks come off, but for now, we have five people. John Pollock confirmed this. Dave Meltzer has now corroborated it. I think he had also mentioned a few of the names beforehand. Loads of other people had as well. But Dio Madden, the guy that we've seen get F5 through a table by Brock Lesnar, and was also on the Raw Underground a few weeks ago. Mia Yim, who we mentioned Keith Lee was attacked by Retribution. Mia Yim and Keith Lee might have been battling in the ring last night. Maybe WWE are trying to split up more couples like they've been doing with their tag teams. Shane Thorne, tag team partner of Brendan Vink, who we've seen for 1 week on Raw, and it seemed like they were going to team with MVP and then disappeared completely. And Mercedes Martinez, who you mentioned got the big push on NXT, the big cage match with Rhea Ripley, really interesting one. And the person that is obviously the biggest rumoured name and the one that is the most obvious to pick out of the bunch, Dominik Dijakovic, the one that we think is doing most of the talking anyway, and it'd probably be likely that he would be, probably if any of them were to be unmasked, if it's only one of them, I would hedge my bets on it being him being the guy that we see the face of. But yeah, really interesting, because those are people that you would say maybe, well, barring one or two, all of them have a claim to have Retribution or have been wronged in the past in some way. Dio Madden, we mentioned the Brock Lesnar thing. Mia Yim, you could say, maybe hasn't had a fair crack at the whip for a title shot. Maybe Mercedes Martinez is a bit of a stretch to say she's not had a great one yet, because she's hardly been in WWE. But you never know. She wasn't signed to begin with and then ended up signed. Dijakovic obviously hasn't really had a fair crack of the whip in terms of getting a title run or anything like that. So a really interesting one. But we'll see what happens. See if these are the faces that end up getting uncovered. I'm not sure it will be, but interesting.
I can agree. I think Mia Yim's a bit of a stretch. I think Dio Madden, totally. I think Shane Thorne, absolutely. Mercedes Martinez is not. It's not going to be Mercedes Martinez. I can't see that.
it's a bit weird that they would have her in a proper storyline in NXT while running this. I think that's my kind of downfall with it. And also, I mean, last night there wasn't just the five of them. The five of them appeared for the vignette, but then when they attacked the ring, there was about 20 of them. So, so again, we'll see. I think it's still going to be somebody orchestrating the full thing. But
I hope it's Seth Rollins. I think
that would be good.
I think that would actually make it all worthwhile. It was Seth Rollins that's been behind it all along. I think that would be a good way to go, because obviously he's kind of...
Also, that's why he's patched Buddy, because he doesn't need
Buddy. Yeah,
it's
like the Monday Night Messiah, and this is his congregation, you know. I think that would be a great way to go. But whether they do that or not...
I'm still pulling for Mustafa Ali, because they're still doing him wrong. He's still on main event. He's been in main event for the past 3 weeks.
You're just desperate for this hacker gimmick to come back, aren't you?
Aye, definitely.
That's why he's in retribution, because hacker gimmick got pulled. No, thank you very much as ever for the news, Gary. Welcome once again to Fantasy Booking Island. Well, the rules have changed. At the moment, there's three of us have got the towels down on the beach enjoying the sun. As we leave the decision on what we book and who wins in your hands. Last week, we were challenged to book Brock Lesnar as a free agent. But before we reveal the decision, a quick recap on what happened. Gary, what was your booking for Brock last week, just quickly?
I had him teaming with Taz after Taz was wronged by Brian Cage. Taz shouting, "Here comes the pain," bringing out Brock Lesnar as FTW champion to face, and now AEW champion Brian Cage, and unify both belts by winning them.
Alex, what was yours?
I went crazy and made Chris Jericho buy a boat so we could lose boat to Brock Lesnar, and then Brock Lesnar could have the battle for the boat on the boat against Jake Hager.
And mine was basically Brock Lesnar as the A-team, going around every promotion in the world, making things that went wrong right again by battering people. So that was our three bookings. Now, it's been close. We've been monitoring this situation throughout the day. And basically, me and Gary are currently tied with 36% of the vote each. Alex, I'm afraid you've lost out, mate. But if it is going to end up in a tie here, Alex, you get the cast and vote, okay?
Do you want to introduce me properly in a really nice way there, instead of just being like, "Alex, you lose, you can have the last vote"?
Right, yeah, I should have.
The loser of this contest.
Where's the pandering? I mean, for fuck's sake.
Or technically the runner-up, because it's technically second place if we are still joint first.
Yeah. Right, okay. I'm going to push refresh to see if there's been any votes in the last couple of hours to push either me or Gary to the title. Here we go. This is all very tense. The refresh button has been pushed. The votes are in. It's refreshing. And I can't believe it. I've won. I've won by a vote. Hey! So Brock,
I think we need a screenshot proof of this.
That's fine. I'm happy in the knowledge that John may have won, but he's definitely the loser on internet connection for how long that took to refresh.
So. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you very much for everyone who voted. Thanks to my fans. Thanks to my wife, who's not my best friend. Well done. Well done. Two in a row. What am I going to say? I love this new way we're doing it. I love this new way. However, it brings us on to this week's booking, which has been suggested by the listeners. Fraser on our Facebook suggested, "My fantasy booking idea is to book your choice of wrestler, or more than one of them, from Leighton Buzzard, Kieran Kelly, Davey Blaze, or Andy Wilde from ICW to NXT UK and beyond." And that was our booking. Alex, who have you chosen?
It's mainly Andy Wilde, but there's a little bit of Kieran Kelly and Leighton Buzzard thrown in there.
Oh, excellent. Gary, who have you went for?
I've went for Leighton Buzzard, but I might chuck a couple more in on the way as well.
Here we go then. Who wants to go first? I've went for David.
See, before we start, right, I have a prediction that we're all going to end in a very similar way. Now, I've made a graphic that I'll put on the screen behind me, and we'll see how close we all are to that.
Okay, right, no problem. I went for Davey, so we'll see how it goes. Who wants to go first? I get to choose since
the Victor chooses, mate. The Victor chooses. You get to pick the order.
I get to choose. I want to hear about Leighton Buzzard's rise to NXT UK. So, Gary, on you go, mate. Your 3 minutes start now.
Cool. So, I've not written it down, so it's going to be a very short one again, but I've got the idea here, and I'm going for a slightly elongated route to NXT UK. So, I am having Santos Escobar doing an open challenge every single week. We get him as the Legado del Fantasma leader. He is the man who is the current 205 Live or Cruiserweight champion. So he decides, do you know what? I'm sick of facing, you know, Drake Maverick. I want to put on an open challenge. 205 Live ends up gone because nobody watches it anyway. We get all of them challenging him. He runs through absolutely everybody with the help of his faction. And we eventually end up with him running out of challengers. So who turns up? But we have a certain someone from NXT UK, Noam Dar. He comes out to challenge and ends up getting obviously ripped to bits by the other members of Legado del Fantasma, so doesn't even get a fair crack at the whip. So Noam Dar's out the window, and then we end up getting kind of a few other wee names here and there. We even say we get a certain Jordan Devlin, who has a claim at the Cruiserweight Championship, but he also gets unfairly dismissed from that match. He ends up getting another match at a pay-per-view, at a takeover, and then he gets beaten cleanly, but ends up back in NXT UK. So we're still looking for a challenger here, and then we get that infamous Pirates of the Caribbean-esque music. Leighton Buzzard comes out on TV, complete underdog, and gets beaten. It gets beaten unfairly, and we end up with Leighton Buzzard challenging Santos Escobar to a pirate ship match. And we get a match in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers stadium in the pirate ship that is on the stand where Kevin Owens was meant to jump off of. Leighton Buzzard wins the Cruiserweight Championship and takes it back to NXT UK, where he makes that the secondary championship and just does the open challenge and competes against absolutely everybody, with him facing in the very first pay-per-view match, Noam Dar. So aye, back your fag packet stuff, but there we go.
Like it. Use good bonus points, I would say, for the use of a pirate ship. Absolutely.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I was going to have Alistair Black by his side with his eye patch on as well, but I decided against it.
Right, Alex, you're up next. Go for it.
Right, mine took a little bit of a twist about half an hour before we started recording, and it probably will now make no sense, but here we go. So Johnny Slade is a man that loves opportunity, so he's going to announce a Heritage Opportunity Battle Royale for that last spot in the upcoming Heritage Cup in NXT UK. So we're going to fill the ring with all the talent, including all those Scottish boys that we mentioned, and of course Taylor Bate, just for good measure. Now, towards the end of the match, the three ICW boys, Leighton Buzzard, Kieran Kelly and Andy Wilde, start to team up a little bit and get down to just Tyler Bate. As the two boys, as Leighton and Kieran go to eliminate Tyler, he cools them down and they both go over the top. In the meantime, Andy's distracted by Trent Seven, so those two just sneak back in the ring and eliminate Tyler Bate because they're pissed off he lost. So Andy Wilde wins the match, but without actually even realising he wins the match. He's not happy about this. Trent and Pete are not happy about this. No one's really happy about this. So the fallout of this starts to kind of come out through the tournament. So in the first match, Andy Wilde is up against Alexander Wolf. And so Kieran Kelly and Leighton Buzzard tried to come out to interfere for Andy Wilde again during that match. But they run into Imperium trying to do the same thing for Alexander Wolf, and they go and have this like crazy backyard brawl for the hell of it. In the second match, he comes up against big old Noam Dar. Now, both the Scottish boys again try to interfere in this match, but for some reason, they can't decide who they actually want to attack, which at this point, Dar and Wilde just decide to say fuck them and kick them out of the ring. So Andy Wilde somehow goes over Noam Dar, and they shake hands like a very respectful match, and he goes on to the final against Trent Seven. Now, Trent and Tyler are still really quite pissed off at him here for his screwing around with him during the Battle Royal. And halfway during the match, the cheeky wee Leighton Buzzard and Kieran Kelly come down and try to taint Tyler Breeze's Tyler Bates towel with some chloroform or something that he's using in the breaks in between the match. But he gets caught by Trent Seven. And this turns into like a bit of a full heel turn from British Strong Style, and they essentially just go wild, beat down Andy Wild, win the match to win the Heritage Cup. At the end of the cup, they all get on stage and they declare that they've had enough of this nonsense. The true heritage of British professional wrestling is in England, and they're renaming themselves as English Strong Style. At the same time, we have Gallus come out to back up Andy Wild. Over at NXT, shit's been hitting the fan. Finn Balor started the Balor Club. He's dismantled the Undisputed Era, and he brings across a new Irish arm of that, led by Jordan Devlin. And then we can create some kind of weird Cardiff mod squad, which means we can bring us all to NXT TakeOver Glasgow in the Hydro, where we can have a Civil War War Games match between Scotland, England, Ireland, and Wales.
I love this ending.
I missed the point. There was meant to be a point when Leighton Buzzard and Kieran Kelly actually successfully managed to choke out Tyler Bate by using his towel, but I missed that part and got confused. I apologise. Yep. So they were the Franz Ferdinand of this situation. They fired the first shot that started the war.
I thought you meant the band, not the...
I meant the Archduke of Austro-Hungary, John.
And that means that the takeover Glasgow takes place in the afternoon as in a matinee performance.
Oh, man.
Exactly.
All right. Just take him out. Hey!
Well, since Gary didn't actually end up, I'll show you what this was, what I thought we were literally all going to end up at some kind of UK takeover Glasgow. So I made us like a nice little...
I like that.
Apparently Gary didn't go to TakeOver Glasgow, so it's wasted now.
Yeah, but I'm not going there either. I'm going in a very different way. So my 3 minutes start now. Okay. So the Bucky Boys were kind of big and they kind of reunited. So we find Davey and Stevie together with the Wee Man, and they're going for the tag titles against the Fight Network. And however, that's at the next big ICW show. However, they lose the tag match for the titles, and it's all Stevie's fault. Davey goes apoplectic. He goes mental because he's not having it. Gets in the ring, absolutely batters Stevie Boy. Wee Man tries to jump in, separate it, batters the Wee Man. He then exits the ring. Two marks that have been put in the crowd say something to him. He batters the marks. Mark Dallas runs down with security. He batters Mark Dallas. Security drag him out. The police are called, and you see on the screens, Davey Blaze getting stuck into a police car. Absolutely going mental, right? He's written off of TV. Mark Dallas comes out, sacked from ICW. He's done in this company. We then hit maybe a few months of vignettes where basically Mark Dallas gets asked if he wants to press charges. He says no. But he thinks he needs rehabilitation. Davey goes into rehabilitation, get vignettes. Not like, you know, your Kane, Daniel Bryan kind of thing. It's more serious kind of vignettes of Davey going through this kind of, I guess, maybe Tony Soprano and Dr. Melfi kind of scenes with Davey going through his rehabilitation. Anyway, he comes out of rehabilitation. There's another vignette of him meeting Mark, saying, listen, I'm sorted now. I'm good to go. In the meantime, in the background, a tournament's been set up in ICW to win an NXT UK contract, which then Davey gets involved with. So he goes through the tournament, you know, he's shaking hands with everyone before his match, you know, but he's beating people, you know, he's being the good, you know, baby face heel, holding up the other person's hand at the end, all that sort of stuff, until we get to the final. And in the final, it's Davey Boy versus Stevie Boy. Now, Stevie Boy's looking a bit way, but again, Davey's shaking the hand at the start. And then, just as the match was about to start, they're shaking hands. Davey pulls him towards him saying, I'm not rehabilitated at all. He fucking does a Brock versus Cena, and he batters Stevie Boy. Absolutely annihilates him. And so, the psycho Davey Blaze is born. With the NXT UK contract in his hand, he marches into NXT UK as the psycho Davey Blaze. The end.
Do you know where I thought you were going with that for a second? See, when the police put Davey in the back of the police car, I thought the police were going to turn up at NXT UK, and the two polos that would get out would be Grado for Scott Squad and Rab as the quality polos for Bundesliga.
My one complaint, John, is you can't call him the psycho because we've already got a Scottish psychopath and he's the WWE champion.
A psychopath, that's different, that's different. But Davey Boy is a psycho, and just Davey just going full on mental, and because Davey's so big and huge now that it just, it's like proper, like, I'm thinking Begbie for train spotting proper, that kind of Scottish psycho kind of thing. So that's my booking. We had Alex with the Clan Wars and an NXT UK Glasgow, and we had Gary in a pirate ship match, which is just brilliant. So yeah, we'll be putting them up for the vote. Get on board, patreon.com/wrestlingdaft. Vote on your favourite booking, and we'll be back next week with the results. So that's it for this week's Wrestling Daft the Marks. Remember to please rate, review and subscribe on Apple or wherever you get your podcasts. Rab and Gradle will be back on Friday with the headline show. I hope you all did your homework for the retro review, and that was to watch Gradle's favourite film of all time, Layer Cake. So if you've got your reviews of Layer Cake, please get them into Rab and Gradle this week. List of Wrestling Daft, it's been really tight. Much like Fantasy Booking Island, 23-22 was the final vote count. The most underrated wrestlers versus the most overrated wrestlers, and it was the most underrated wrestlers that won. So that'll be the list of Wrestling Daft this week. Boys, have you got any suggestions for the most underrated wrestlers?
I'm trying to think of like weird ones that people wouldn't normally say. There's been like a big name somewhere. See, people like, I don't know, like Ultimo Dragon or some one of these like young cruiserweights, or like, yeah, someone like that. Someone who's been like really big in many countries but was never particularly huge in the States. So I'm going to stick with Ultimo Dragon.
I think you're going to get a lot of people saying Cesaro, but for me, a few came to mind. I would say two people that could have easily been the first ever British WWE champion: William Regal, but obviously he had some success, and Bad News Barrett. But for me, yeah, I'm going to be that guy. The two that came to mind instantly, and I don't know why. The first one was the guy that I'm a huge mark for right now in Grand Metalik. The other one was S.A. Rios. I thought S.A. Rios was absolutely brilliant. So.
Aye, good shouts,
maybe
boys.
When I watch back, I might disagree with myself.
I'm sure those names will definitely appear on the list.
You know, actually, who else might be a good shout? The original guy who played Sin Cara, because he was huge as Mystico, and then he came to the States, absolutely bombed, but he's actually really well regarded everywhere other than the Western world.
Botch Cara was the original one, wasn't it? It was just like...
Well, that's the guy, that's Mystico. Like, he was huge and really well-respected in Mexico before he came up. But I believe he is again now.
There you go. You might appear back in the WWE as Sin Cara Mark II. Who knows? Remember, do all the rating review. Gary, what are you up to this week? Where can we get you? What's happening?
I'm interviewing Ginny from NXT UK tomorrow, I think. Some of it will be out before NXT UK actually takes place on Thursday. So that'll be doing that. And then, yeah, who knows about the rest of the week? Probably just playing Tony Hawk's Pro Skater. But I'll be on Twitter as Wrestling Gary. So anything that does happen, I'll be posting it there.
I'm impressed that it's taken to this part of the podcast for a mention of Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, because you've been on it all bloody week. Alex, what about you? What are you up to? Where can we get you?
Well, obviously, currently playing Tony Hawk's Pro Skater. And then, as I mentioned earlier, we've got the re-release of Super Mario 64. John, out this week. So, I mean,
it's out this week because my wee boy is he thinks it's out already. Is it not out yet?
No, it's Friday. So you get Mario 64 on Friday, then you get the G1 on Saturday. So it's a glorious weekend.
Oh, what
weekend.
A weekend you've got. Super Mario and the G1 this weekend. Oh.
I like all of the cool things. And I mean, this is not perhaps the reason why I am still single, but I mean...
Well, at least you're not married to your best friend. Right, okay.
And another big game that's out this week is WWE Battlegrounds is out on Friday.
Oh, is that out on Friday as well? That'll be interesting. We should do a review on it next week. Is anyone buying it, though? Nah.
I might do, Vince. £1,375. I think I can spare £35.
That's true, yeah. Guys, keep the money. Yeah, you can afford to buy it.
Should do a live stream with Rad versus Grado to see how that pans out.
I think there will only be one winner in that match. Thank you very much for listening to Wrestling Daft the Marks. Until next time, keep marking out.
audio from